problem of time. We have had three lessons already on the subject, and therefore tonight will be the fourth lesson. If you are listening, I'm sure you will learn something that can be of help to you as you serve the Almighty God. We have already looked on or examined, as I've said, four ways, or rather, three ways in which we waste time, and that we do in many ways. Tonight we pick up on number one. In addition to what we have studied over past many weeks, because this lesson was meant for November the 24th. But many things have come up since. So another way in which we waste time, and not just waste time, because in wasting time or using time unwisely, we multiply our stress. That is a fact. So one of the ways in which we waste time is when we ponder and brood over past mistake. That is past mistake that you can do nothing about because it is past, because that mistake was made, and there is no way you can do anything about it, or past mistake that you can in fact do something about. A lot of times we stress ourselves, we lose night rest over a mistake that was made 6 months ago, a year ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And as we brood over it, we discover that there is no way I can do anything about that now. So it is foolish for us to let it have that type of effect it has on us now. But the other side is foolish. You might have made a mistake. It might have been a terrible mistake 10, 20 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago. And you know what? It lies in your power to do something about it. So don't let it stress you out. Do what you can about it, because you have that power. So if you cannot do anything about that mistake that was made in the past, don't let it stress you out. If you can do something about it, that's even the more reason you should not let it stress you out. But we do. We do. And as I said, when we do, we multiply our missteps and our stresses. Every life, without exception, of course, Jesus Christ would be the exception, but every life has its own mistakes and failure. every life. It matters not how successful a person is in whatever field of life. In fact, I have in mind to share with you from one of those books that I cherish, small book. There are about three of them I have. One of them is The Majesty of Calmness. And I had in mind to, at this point I am on, that every life has its own failure and mistake, to share with you the fact that, to just relate to you some great people in the world that we read about and who have set the stage for many of the successes that we benefit from now all over the world, and to list some of the failures and the mistakes that they have experienced. People that you and I read about, be it scientists, economists, botanists, and just name them. But I said, just taking up a few lines in telling about their lives, it might encroach on the time that I had planned to spend on the lesson. So I repeat, every life has its own failures and mistakes. Most, if not all, great men and women in the various walks of life have made great mistakes. That's right. And for some of them, you wonder how they survived that mistake and at the end experience success. But here is a key. With mistake, it is the takeaway that you took from the mistake that counts. And that is very important. The mistake you made 10, 20 years ago, 6 months ago, last week, has it made you a wiser person? What have you learned from it? What has it taught you? Because when from mistake we make, we come out wiser. We are better. We are more qualified to meet up on challenges and to deal with them successfully as a result of the mistake I made yesterday. So in life, it is the takeaway that matters. Look at Peter in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 5 following. Reading this, you could never believe that this is a man who denied Jesus Christ with some choice Rasta word. That's right. Let us hear it.
And it came to
Acts. The brother is reading from Acts chapter 4 from verse 5 following.
And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes.
Now, these are all the Jewish bigwigs, the top leaders of the Sanhedrin Council. That's the Jewish High Court. Simply because Peter healed a man. Is called, not just called into question, they are ready to do the worst to him. because they are envious. Read, brother, start again, verse 13.
Verse 5, rather. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest.
As many that were of the kindred of the priest. That these are the ranking big dog of the Sanhedrin council, which is their high court, with little beanie, insignificant Peter. But may I just drop this? Peter was the biggest person in that audience because he had God on his side. Read on, brother.
We're gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they ask, by what power or by what name have ye done this?
I drop a line because, you know, sometimes drop a line. Just, you know, I teach and preach with the expectation that you will engage in teaching God's word. So, and you ought to, we have great responsibility. Just right here, notice how the word power and name are used interchangeably. That means when the Sanhedrin council said, by what? Power, notice, or what name, it means when you do something in a person's name, you do it by the person's power or authority. And if you don't remember any passage, remember this. I think the brother's supposed to be at verse 7.
Yes, verse 7.
That's right. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. By what power or by what name? Which is telling us, by what power, I mean by what name. And when it is done by the person's name, I mean by what power or what authority. Okay, I just dropped that along. I'm not preaching on that tonight. But, you know, you are expected to teach. And when you meet up on Pentecostal, these people, in whose name you baptize, they don't even understand that to do something in a person's name means by you do it by the person's authority. Anyway, go on, brother. That was brother. Go on.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost,
said unto this, the Jewish high court.
Ye rulers of the people.
You rulers of the people.
And elders of Israel.
And elders of Israel.
If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you.
You notice, Peter is preaching the gospel to men who don't want to believe it. When he stated, and remember where we are coming from, it's the take away from your mistake that counts. Did that mistake make you a wiser person? Was that mistake a way by which you become more experienced? Here is a man, Peter, who not long ago had denied Jesus Christ. And you know what? It was not even before any high court then. It was a young lady who recognized him and asked him, don't you are one of them? And Peter denied, and she came back and said, you look like one of them. And Peter, in denying Jesus Christ, used some words. Usually only Rastafarian man use them words. That's the man that is now before the Sanhedrin council. And he told them, the same Jesus Christ whom you crucified. In fact, you know what? God raised him from the dead. All these are truth that the Sanhedrin council didn't want to hear. And Peter knew that they didn't want to hear it. Peter knew that it would make them mad. But Peter had the courage and the conviction. The same Peter who few months ago or a few years ago had denied Jesus Christ. Terrible mistake that was. But Peter had a good takeaway from that denying, that failures. Read on, brother.
Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other.
Wait. Peter is permitting it to soak in. Because when he's going to tell them that they cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ, that's going to irritate them. But Peter had the courage in that denying Jesus Christ. Peter had such a positive takeaway from that failure that it's not going to happen again. What he said there, brother?
Neither is there salvation in any other.
For
there is none other name under heaven
given
among men
whereby
we must be saved.
Read on.
Now, when they saw the boldness of
that
Peter,
is when the Sanhedrin council saw the boldness of
Peter and John,
and
perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men.
Sometimes by the very dialect, by the very way a person speaks, especially in those times, there are other means by which you realize that these were not the upper class, as we would say. These were not the big dog. These are simple people. And when they saw the way Peter delivered himself and present Jesus Christ and the gospel to them. Read, brother.
And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus.
What a testimony. You know, just thinking about it, it filled me with emotion. Only Jesus Christ can do to these men what we have just witnessed. Only Jesus Christ can transform simple men like this. That's what the Sanhedrin Council was saying. You know, they were saying, and must Jesus Christ that they have been with. What a testimony. You know, in the lesson this morning, I pointed out that one of the things that we do as backsliders, when we abandon worship, we treat worship like, oh, I go when I feel. It's not an important thing. We send a false and a wrong message, both to unbelievers and to other Christians. And when the church let men and women who have not treated worship with the respect it deserves, when the church let members feel it's no big thing, we are doing worse. Because when our commitment to worshiping God when the church meets, and when we treat that with disregard, the message we send to other Christians, it's not that important. The message we send to unbelievers, it's not that important. That's a false message. Because worship to God is important. What is the point? Peter made a terrible mistake. But the takeaway from that mistake, we are seeing a demonstration of it here. Not only that, we see the same in Paul. Paul declared that he had been the chief of sinners. No, you don't get bigger than that. Huh? If you're thinking about promotion or getting promoted as a sinner, then here is a man who was chief, Paul. But he obtained mercy and therefore could put the past behind him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. We are looking on the problem of time, using time wisely, and we are dealing with the fact that one of the ways in which we waste time is when we brood and ponder past mistakes that we can do nothing about now, or we can do something about, but we still let them stress us out. That's not good. We are looking on some great biblical characters here who have made mistakes, but the takeaway. Let us hear 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 through 15.
Who was before a blasphemer?
Paul says, previous to knowing Jesus Christ, I was a blasphemer.
And a persecutor.
I was a persecutor.
And injurious.
I was an injurious person. I bring hurt. Injury to many of God's people and others.
But I obtained mercy.
I obtained mercy. Thank God. Read.
Because I did it ignorantly.
That's right.
In unbelief.
You see, when we are enlightened in one form or the other from past error, mistakes, in whatever, then we have an opportunity to move on and to make progress. Read on.
And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying.
This is a faithful saying.
And worthy of all
acceptation. You can accept this, Paul said.
That Christ Jesus...
Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinner. Paul says, I'm the top sinner.
I am chief.
And you know, that came out of when he looked back on the mistake that he has made. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Read.
Not as though I had already attained.
Paul says, it's not that I reach where I want to go. You know, for a man like this to have made that public acknowledgement. Are we all there? Paul says, yes, I am not the type of Christian I am to be. I don't progress to where I need to be. But is he going to stand still? Read.
either were already perfect.
Yes.
But I follow after.
But I follow after.
If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
I was going to, brother, with. I like that. I like how that is worded. Find it in and read it from the Amplified for me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13.
Not that I have now attained this ideal.
That's right. Paul says, I have not yet attained the spiritual plateau or ideal that I need to attain. Read.
Or I'm already made perfect.
And neither have I, am I already made perfect.
But I press on.
I press on.
To lay hold of.
To lay hold on.
Grasp.
And grasp.
And make my own.
And make my own.
That for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me.
In other words, what he's saying, when Jesus Christ grabbed me up, Christ had a goal and an objective for me. Paul is saying, I have not yet reached there. Read on.
From the Amplified.
What verse is that?
That was 11. Not that I have now attained this ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the end of 12.
Read 13.
I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind.
You see, forgetting the past. Wait. This doesn't mean, don't move from the passage. This doesn't mean that the past was totally absent from his mind. Remember, the past can be of great help to us. A lot of time, the past help us to know what step to take towards the future. The lesson is about not brooding and spending valuable time over past mistake that you can do nothing about now. You see. But I'm not here saying to abandon the past, because a lot of times it is by remembering the past that we have a positive future. Read on, brother.
Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward.
Thank you, brother. So, again, let us not stifle our progress by being bogged down with negatives of the past. When we make mistakes, let us do some takeaway from those mistakes. It reminds me of the boxer. The story is told, great boxer. And there was this matchup with this other great boxer. And this one won the fight. Won the fight just unanimously. And the one who was defeated asked for a rematch. And after many months, a rematch was granted. And this guy who, in the past fight, failed miserably, in the first and the second and the third rounds, he was on top of everything. And the trainers and advisor in the ring, in the corner of the successful one, the one who was successful in the previous fight, keep pointing out to him, said, man, it's the same man you beat 8 months ago. What's wrong? And he turned to his trainer and said, he is not the same man. It's a different man I'm fighting. It was the same man. But the same man who took some take away from the first failure. And we must be like that. That the failures that we experience, we must make sure we are wiser from those failures. May I? I've said this so many times, and I know I'll be saying it so many times in the future, God's willing. That is, when the Almighty God has forgiven you, learn to forgive yourself. Brother Mitchell, that's simple. Yes, but so many Christians don't learn that. Some Christians don't learn to forgive themselves even when God has forgiven them. They are bogged down with guilty conscience. Wait, it's good to have conscience that are sensitive. It's good to have conscience that are not seared with hot iron. But it is bad to have conscience that is overly sensitive, so that even when we have made mistakes, done wrong, and do what God asks to be forgiven, and we do it in sincerity, we still are bogged down for weeks and months and years with guilty conscience. So I beg you, when God has forgiven you, learn to forgive yourself. But wait, no. Be careful, however, that you do not forgive yourself when God has not forgiven you. That's important, too. That's right. I was going to let us read it, but I'll just relate it. That's what happened to Saul in 1 Samuel 15. He was telling Samuel, I've done this, but he didn't do it. And another time he said, I have done this, but he didn't do it. And a lot of times we pat ourselves on the shoulder, feel good within ourselves that we have been forgiven when we have not met Jesus' condition. So we have to, while it is important that when you know you have met God's condition and you know what those conditions are, then forgive yourself when God has forgiven you. Make sure that you know what the conditions are. To go forward, we must let go and forget certain aspects of the past. Just one more point. Many of us waste time, energy, and waste our peace worrying about what may happen next week or next year. That's another way we waste time and create stress for ourselves. Brother Mitchell, can you put that another way? Thank you for asking. Many of us, we waste time constantly by crossing bridges which we have not yet reached. That's right. I repeat. For many of us, it is a custom in our life that we keep thinking of a problem we think going to come tomorrow, next week, next year, and we fret about it, we lose night rest, we stress ourselves because I'm sure it's going to come. And a lot of time it never comes. But you know what? We have already paid the price through the stress which we brought on ourselves. And I imagine most of you know that stress brings on a lot of things. I believe I told you about one of the books of my libraries, Living 365 Days a Year, for the year, written by about 3 psychiatrists and psychologists. And when they tell you the things that stress can cause, it can bring cancer in your body, stress. Name the disease. And a lot of time we stress ourselves out of perceived problem that we're sure next month or next week, I'm laughing of an experience. I won't share it with you that I had within the past, it's about 3-4 weeks now. Something that I was so certain of. And to the end, it wasn't so at all. That's right. So we waste time, we waste energy, we destroy our peace, worrying about what may happen next week or next month. We are always crossing bridges we have not yet reached. Children of God must learn to trust in and hold to God's promises. As stated in Romans 8:28, that all things God going to work them together for our own good. That's not idle promise. As human beings, we do not know the future. None of us know the future. But as Christians, we know that God is in the future and that he controls the future. We must never forget that. 1, 2, 3. In fact, I'm going to end here. There are 3 things I was about to say, but it can stay for another lesson because I have at least 1 or 2 more lessons and the problem of time. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you can become a Christian so that the Almighty God through Jesus Christ can help you manage time and use time wisely.